You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The current situation with ovarian cancer in New Zealand has been labelled a crisis in women's health. What is happening?
Yeah, it definitely is a crisis. Every 48 hours in Aotearoa, a woman dies from ovarian cancer. More women die of ovarian cancer in our country, higher than women killed by a road toll. Yet the government funds $1 billion a year to reduce the road toll and nothing to reduce deaths from ovarian cancer. The New Zealand government spends over $126 million on medical research through the Health Research Council every year, and in the last 3 years has funded $0 towards ovarian cancer, which is basically our least survivable women's cancer. It's a travesty in the protection of our country's women, basically. So, yeah, it's super important that we're handing over this petition to government today because we're in dire need of some changes.
How many women in New Zealand have this type of cancer? And is there any communication on why there is no government funding?
There's no communication on why there's no government funding, but obviously we hope to have some chat with them about this and see what can be done. We've got some clear pathways of things that we think need to happen and some good steps that can put them into action. Currently in New Zealand, I wouldn't know how many people have currently got ovarian cancer, but we lose approximately one woman every 48 hours. So 180 women a year are killed by ovarian cancer. I think it's just generally not many people speaking openly about gynecological cancers. You know, they've been kind of stigmatized for years. A recent survey in New Zealand found that 90% of women who have been diagnosed here couldn't name a single symptom of ovarian cancer before their diagnosis, and the majority of them experienced significant difficulties in accessing the blood test and ultrasound required to find it. So, yeah, it's just unbelievable in this day and age that women are still being told that the symptoms are in their head or that they just need to lose weight or eat some more all bran, when in actual fact they have an advanced gynecological cancer.
There's a number of stories of women being turned away from their doctors when they're presenting these symptoms, being told that it's not that serious. Why is this happening? Is this just a matter of there's a lack of funding, so there's a lack of educating doctors?
Yeah, good question. I think the best way to answer that is that we don't actually have any national guidelines, unlike Australia. So there is no sort of clear pathway to getting diagnosed when you are presenting with symptoms. So that's one of the things that we're asking for in the petition, is that we need some clear guidelines so that GPs actually have a pathway to follow when a woman walks into the office and says, you know, I'm experiencing bloating, pain during sex, urgency to pee. There's a list of common symptoms, and there needs to be some sort of plan of action that can be taken when someone walks in the door and presents with them. So yeah, it's super important that we have some national guidelines put in place, and it's ridiculous that there isn't any already.
So the Australian government has their own national guidelines. Are you able to tell me what these look like?
I wouldn't know exactly what theirs look like, other than, I guess it's like, you know, in New Zealand, when you present with a lump in your breast, there's a certain amount of procedures that would go ahead for that to be tested. And currently in New Zealand, there isn't anything like that. So our guidelines would look something along the lines of, what we'd be hoping is that a woman would be sent for a simple blood test. It costs $20. It's to check a protein level in the blood. It's called a CA125 blood test, and also to be sent for a transvaginal ultrasound, which is about similar costing of having a mammogram.
So prior to how we see breast cancer treatment now, it wasn't always like that. It took a lot of campaigning. Would you like to see the same thing happen for ovarian cancer?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the five-year survival rate for ovarian cancer in New Zealand is 36%, and it's got a 70% chance of recurrence post-treatment. The survival stats for ovarian cancer remain virtually unchanged for over the last 30 years, which is pretty much crisis point, really. Breast cancer used to have a similar outlook, but now thanks to incredible advocacy, large-scale fundraising, and an immense amount of research, the breast cancer 10-year survival rate is 74% if a lump is the first sign, or a 94% survival rate if detected by a mammogram. You know, and that's a huge difference compared to 36% for ovarian cancer. And there's a very very simple reason why this is. It's basically it's funding, awareness, and a lot of funding. So yeah, it's just soul destroying for many to hear that New Zealand's Health Government Research Council still spends three times as much on breast cancer research than on ovarian. In the past 10 years, just three ovarian cancer studies have been funded, and 78% of the total research funding awarded to ovarian cancer research was due to a combined breast and ovarian cancer study. So, yeah, it's just kind of, it's for all those diagnosed, it's pretty soul-destroying, and it's a very isolating place being diagnosed. I was diagnosed in 2017, and yeah, and just in the next 10 years, I just don't want to see that nothing's changed. I just can't bear to see more and more people dying of something that they never heard of, never knew the signs of, that no one cared to research for. It really breaks my heart every day, receiving messages from those needing support and feeling like they got the cancer that no one gives a shit about, really, or is too scared to speak up about.
What was your personal experience in being diagnosed with this form of cancer?
I was diagnosed with ovarian cancer in 2017. And I'm basically kind of like a unicorn in the ovarian cancer world. I was diagnosed at stage one, when 85% are diagnosed in the late stages of disease. The only reason I'm sitting here able to talk to you today is because I took myself to the emergency room over and over again. I got turned away, was told it was my endometriosis. I just kept going back and persisting until I got a CT scan, and basically it went from there. But I mean, you know, I'm just, there's not as many people in a privileged position as me, and we shouldn't be having to fight for our lives for something that's, you know, killing someone every 48 hours. You know, it's not uncommon, and, you know, it's happening, and it's, yeah, we need conversations to be starting now, life-saving conversations, and we need the government to step on board. We're one of the only countries, first world countries in the world, whose government's not funding it. And all other governments that are putting money into the pot, that money to research benefits women worldwide. And, you know, I think it's time for our government to start contributing.
You mentioned earlier 90% of women can't name a single symptom of ovarian cancer. So what should we be looking out for?
The common symptoms are persistent bloating. So, yeah, not bloating that comes and goes, but bloating that is constantly there. Pain during sex. Changes in bowel habits, so constipation, diarrhea, painful bowel movements, pain during sex, frequent needing to pee either urgently or frequently, lower back pain and fatigue would be the most common ones. And you don't have to have all of them presenting to have it, but a combination of those, I would definitely say get yourself to the doctor. You know your body better than anyone else, and if you notice any changes that aren't the normal for you, you know, seek medical advice and push for answers, because you deserve to get an answer.
And how can we support people campaigning for change in ovarian cancer outcomes?
You can check out TalkPeach. We've got a website, www.talkpeach.org.nz. You can check out our Instagram at talk_peach, and you can also check out the charity that we are working in collaboration with, and it's spearheaded by Jane Ludeman. She started this whole thing, and her charity is Cure Our Ovarian Cancer. Both those sites will have lots of information, and we also have a donation channel if you did want to donate to help us on our mission. We greatly appreciate it.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.